Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Maddie Ridgway, our Director of Young Adult Ministries.
Good morning and welcome to worship with Paley Presbyterian Church. It is so good to have you all with us this morning. For those of you I've not had the opportunity of meeting, my name is Maddie Ridgway, and I am on staff here at Paley Pres. My title is Supervisor of High School Ministries and Director of Young Adult Ministries. So those are the people that you would see me hanging out with most of the time. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for virtual worship. So if you have a Bible and you could open it with me to Philippians 4, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 13. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be in the same mind of the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel. Together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty, and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this group who is worshiping wherever they are. I pray that you keep them healthy. Lord, I pray that you bless the words, that they may be yours and not mine. I pray that the message that I share may be only of you and not of myself. Lord, I pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Over the last few weeks, if you are on any kind of social media, you have seen lots of jokes and memes and funny pictures of parents trying to facilitate school from home. They're trying to recall these ideas and concepts that they have not used in a very long time and honestly thought they would never have to use again. You might have learned the term borrow, but your student might be learning the term carry. You might have learned multiplication by one method, but your students are using Common Core and there's boxes involved and like 37 different steps and it's very confusing. I remember those kitchen table disagreements like they were yesterday. You are relearning things that you thought you would never have to use again in your adult lives. And I truly feel for you. As I was prepping for this sermon, I was seeing these jokes and things pop up on the internet, and a middle school math formula came to mind, and I just could not shake it. I don't know why, I just kept thinking of this formula, and if you know me, you know this is weird, because I am not a math person at all. Never have been, never will be. But I was really digging through this scripture, reading it over and over again many times throughout the week that I was preparing, and it is packed with information that truly I could have made multiple different sermons on. as I was parsing through the information, I kept thinking of this old middle school math formula, and that is the order of operations, or some of you might know it as PEMDAS. So I said, we're gonna combine these things and see what happens. And actually, I was pleasantly surprised. So we are going to use PEMDAS today to look through this text that we just read of what Paul is sharing with the church in Philippi and now with us today. So for those of you that have not had the joy of doing middle school math recently, PEMDAS stands for parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction. So to find the answer to your equation, you have to go through that order of operations to find the correct answer. So we are going to PEMDAS this scripture today. Also, a little caveat, I need you all to understand that this is the highest level math you will ever see me use in a sermon or a youth talk or anything. When it comes to math, this is truly my highest competency level. It's all downhill after this. So naturally, we have to start with the parentheses. It's the first part of the equation, and we understand that the goal of the parentheses is to simplify what's in between them. So let's put some parentheses around this scripture and really take a basic look at what Paul is sharing with us. We know, if you've been following along in the series, that Paul is writing from prison, and he's writing a letter back after receiving gifts from the church of Philippi. He addresses the church and a bit of a quarrel that these women have been sharing, and we'll take a closer look at that later on. He packs these verses with bits of information that, again, truly we can make multiple sermons on. Paul addresses the people, sharing with them words he has received from Christ and is now passing along to them. Some really important themes that we see and we're gonna continue to dive into is choosing joy, being content in our situations, and finding peace from Christ. Paul taps into the emotion of anxiety. Many of us have felt this emotion in our lives and have maybe felt it for the first time during this pandemic or have felt a heightened sense of anxiety during this time. And now we talk about how we can find joy through Christ even when we are stripped of everything and have those anxious feelings. Or how we can find joy in Christ when we have an abundance and all that we need. So moving on, the next step in our equation, Paul is our exponent. I looked up the definition of an exponent just for a better understanding of it in the equation, but I was really shocked when the first definition I came across was a person who believes in and promotes the truth or benefits from an idea or theory. Paul is totally our exponent. Paul promotes the truth with the church of Philippi and now with us. In verse 8 of this scripture, Paul gives us 6 whatever statements. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, and whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul has learned what those things are that exude beauty and exude goodness from Christ. And now we receive those things from Paul. Paul also shares with us in verse 9, he says, whatever you have learned, referring back to these whatever things, whatever you have learned or received or heard or seen in me, put them into practice. Paul has us use our own senses and our understandings that we may be exponents ourselves. We are promoters of truth, but to be promoters of truth, we must learn it, receive it, hear it, and see it ourselves. So we're beginning to see a pattern here, and we can recognize that, you know, the things that God is doing in our lives is the thing that bring us to the next part of our equation. When I think of multiplication, I think of rapid growth. There are quite a few times where God promises multiplication, and no, not the math worksheets that you're doing with your kids. I promise. There are many examples throughout the Old Testament and the early church in the New Testament where we see God's people being faithful in trying times and receiving a multitude of blessings on the other side. we can take time to recognize that in our own lives as well. I encourage you to take some time throughout the week to maybe think about a time in which Christ multiplied a blessing on the other side of a hardship or a trial. Now, the word multiplication isn't in this verse, and I surely don't want to take it out of context, but I do think the idea of faithfulness to Christ and fulfilled blessings are present here. In verse 7, we have the opportunity to receive the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that surpasses all comprehension, the peace that is too great to understand, peace that goes far beyond human understanding, peace that is multiplied over and over and over again. Christ promises us these multiplied blessings. However, we are deeply human, and that means we mess it up over and over and over again. I want to direct your attention to the beginning of this scripture. There's a little verse that Paul clearly is directed towards two women. Here is where we'd find division. He calls out these two women, Euodia and Syntyche. We don't have a lot of context for what Paul is referring to here, but we can use our clues to realize that A, they are both followers of Christ, and B, they are experiencing some kind of disagreement that Paul feels the need to call out. When we let division get in the midst of our relationships, we lose that peace from Christ. Division doesn't bring us joy or contentment. And what a beautiful thing it is that we serve a God who is always with us. From the times when we have an abundance of peace and joy in our relationships to the times where we find ourselves in really contentious situations with the people in our lives. God doesn't leave us in those middle spaces, but gives us the opportunity to lean in to moving from divisiveness right into right relationship with God and the people around us. And we get some pretty explicit instructions on how to do that from Paul, which brings us to the next portion of our equation. Paul says in verse 6, in every situation, prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we present our requests to God. We got to do some work, friends. We got to put the work into it. Paul tells us that to receive this peace and contentment, we have to have an active prayer life. Personally, an active prayer life is something that I have struggled with throughout my Christian walk. I worked at a job in Pittsburgh after graduating from college, and I worked there a total of 9 months, but for the last 3 months that I was there, I had a decision to make. My options were quit my job in Pittsburgh, most likely move back in with my parents and find another job somewhere in Pittsburgh, or still quit my job in Pittsburgh and move back to Philadelphia. Unclear of where I was going to be moving, who I'd be living with, no idea of what kind of job I would be working. And I had absolutely no idea what to do. I was very torn both ways, and it took me entirely too long to begin praying about it. Once I did, though, it became almost abundantly clear that all the arrows that pointed towards the safer option just didn't make sense. All the arrows that pointed towards moving back in with my parents and maybe just finding a job to keep steady for a while. It just didn't seem right. It didn't sit with me. And I don't know if I hadn't started praying about it, if I would have made the decision I did, which ultimately led me back here to Philadelphia and is leading me here now to lead this sermon to you. Adding prayer into my decision-making multiplied the blessings that have come since then. This brings us to the final portion of our equation. We look back and we see that we have an understanding of gained peace and joy and comforted anxieties, but we found our way to subtraction. In order to make room for the good, we have to get rid of the bad. The thing that we need to subtract is ourselves. We get in our own way, and because we forget that we can do all things only through Christ. In verse 12, Paul tells us, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in the land of plenty or want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Paul is reminding us that the only way to be able to do all things is to be content in our situations. When we are in need or hungry or in want, Paul reminds us that Christ has brought him through all of that. And when he had plenty and was well fed, Christ was sufficient for him. When we have an abundance, we must give thanks because Christ has given it to us, and we recognize that Christ can take it away at any time. The plenty is of God and from God. We acknowledge that nothing we could have done can bring us abundance when Christ is glorified. We can do all things. When we are suffering, we acknowledge that God turns all misery into good in its time. We cry out to God through prayer because Christ wants to hear from us. And when we are brought low and have nowhere else to turn, we can do all things because Christ has brought us there. Now, I will add this caveat. We cannot go and rob a bank because we can do all things through Christ. You probably will not feel great or be able to successfully complete a marathon if you've never run a mile because you can do all things through Christ. Personally, I cannot go take a calculus class and do well at all after relying on middle school math for a sermon because I can do all things through Christ. But I can find joy when it feels like my world is falling apart. I can know that Christ will redeem everything in my lifetime or another. I can know that the Lord will get me through the lowest of the lows because he promised he would. And I know that the Lord will bring me up to the highest of the highs because he also promised he would. We can do all things through Christ because we've already been through all things, friends. And it's only when I subtract myself from this equation and I give Christ the authority that I can do all things and find joy in all things. Let us pray together. Lord, we rejoice because you are enough. We praise you for the ways that you have and will continue to bring joy and peace and comfort into our lives. Lord, ease anxieties and remind us that you are enough in any and all circumstances. Help us to find contentness in you, whether we have an abundance or whether we are stripped of all that we have. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, that we may know that you have felt any and all emotions that we will ever feel. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the work that you have done and will continue to do in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.